grateful. I'm deeply grateful to Mrs. Rothenberg and to Mrs. Schefter for having invited me to come to speak to all of you here tonight. And Gitte Yovai, Beirut Kane, the Beirut that we're going to learn this Shabbat. Rabbi Lezer tells us something, and it looks like he's telling us, he's teaching us two things. But the Bar Tanura tells us that that which Rabbi Eliezer is teaching us is actually one thing connected. It says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer Aimer, Yehi kvoy kavecha, chodi v'lecha kishalach, v'altihi noyach lichay. The covet of your friend should be just as chashuv in your eyes, just as important in your eyes as your own covet. And don't get angry easily. It looks like it's two separate things. But the Bar Tanura tells us, the Emesah, when is this going to be that you're going to be able to give covet to your friend? When you're not going to fly off the handle, when you're not going to get angry easy. If you become angered easily, it's impossible that you won't offend your friend. We all know the very famous tragic Gemara in Yevamah Samach Beis on the day that tells us that Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim and that they all died at one time, in one period of time, Mipesach Ad Atzeret. Why? Shalaynogu Kovay Zebezeh. Because they didn't give Kovay one to the other. We have come together in the days of Sphira. And we all understand that there is an Avelus in Klal Yisrael because the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were Loynogu Kovay Zebezeh. Rabbi Lezer is telling us that if you want to learn how to give kavod one to the other, you have to learn not to get angry. We have to understand that if we want to give kavod to our friends, we have to begin to understand how to contain the fire that we have within us and how to get a handle on our anger. That's the topic for tonight. Learning to control ourselves, understanding what terrible catastrophes can come from anger. The Stifler has a sefer on Chumash. The sefer is called Birchas Peres. And in Parshas Va'era, the Stifler tells us a tremendous yisoy about the union of anger. And he tells us a pasuk which we've all familiar with in Shemot Ches, Pasuk Beis. It says, "Vayeid Aaron et Yodoy." Aaron stretched out his hand on Meme Mitzrayim, on the waters of Mitzrayim. Vatal Atzvadeya, and Atzvadeya came up, Vatachas et Eretz Mitzrayim, and it covered the whole land of Mitzrayim. So we all know Rashi. Rashi brings the Medrash. Atzvadeya achat oisa. It was only one Atzvadeya that came up, and then the people got angry. Boy, and they hit it. And what happened? The Imah Tezet, and then it split, and it became, everyone became two. So imagine, a frog comes into a guy's house, and he's angry. So he smacks it, so now it's two. And he smacks it again, now it's four, then it's eight and 16. So stop already! Stop! You see what's happening! With 16 frogs you can live! But what? No, 32, 64, 128! And they're all hitting and hitting and hitting, and every house is just the same. They can't control themselves. Why can't they control themselves? Don't they realize what's happening? And that's what anger is all about. Anger is you lose yourself. You have no control. You see the froggies are doubling and tripling. But you're going to hit them. You're going to stop it. And that's the problem of anger. You lose control. You lose your safety. And you do things that are harmful. That's what the Stifler tells us. That's what you learn from the Tzadeya. That's what you learn, what you see, what Tzadeya is all about. Tzadeya makes us lose our sense. Lose control and do things that are harmful for us in the long run. We have to know that anger not only pains others, but it causes suffering and harm to ourselves. Anger not only causes agony to others, but in the long run it causes terrible anguish to ourselves. And that's what we have to learn tonight. We have to learn how not to hurt others and not to hurt ourselves. I want to tell you a very tragic story that I wrote in one of the books, and I remember Rav Sholem Shadron told it to me. You should have it a poor slammer, the Maggid of Yerushalayim. And I remember he told me, he said that he heard this story. There was a certain tzaddik, Rav Chaim Malevsky, a tzaddik in Yerushalayim, and he never spoke any stories except he would tell certain incidents that happened at family simcha. And Rav Shalom told me that at one family simcha, a sheva brachas for his son, he told this story. And he told it in poetry. And I was thinking, it's impossible. How could a man tell a whole story in poetry? But it didn't make a difference to me. The story was a beautiful story, and I was very touched by it. And then a few years ago, some of you know this, there's a Rav Braunspiegel here in Borapark. So he has somebody that he was very close to, Rav Reuven Maletsky, Rav Shalom's son-in-law. And Rav Reuven Maletsky came to Borapark and he called me and he said, you want to hear the tape of how Rav Cycle told that story in poetry? I couldn't believe it. And he told it in poetry. And I'll tell you the two most important lines in a moment. And this is what happened. Rav Cycle was a tzaddik, a melamed for many, many years, a very upgehitna at the hoidina yid. And Nebuch, when he was 48 years old, he never had a terrible disease, and one of his legs had to be amputated. And the rest of his life, he was in tremendous pain, and he was confined to a wheelchair. And he lived in a place called Brody's Heiser, in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. And he used to wheel himself out into the courtyard, into the chotzer, and there he would get some fresh air, and he would learn, and he would have his svarim with him. And he always told his children, never, ever be involved in a machlokes. And he said to his children, he wrote it in his will as well, in the tzavah. He said, if you're in shul, and even if you're in the middle of krishna, and a machlokes breaks out in shul, walk out! Even in the middle of krishna, don't be involved in a machlokes. And one day, he's sitting in the courtyard, and he sees and he hears how a young woman is arguing with an old man. And the young woman is saying to the old man, I'm the one that deserves the apartment. I have younger children. I have my whole life ahead of me. I'm the one that deserves the apartment that has now become available. And the old man is saying, what do you mean? I've been on the list for so long. I have kedima. You know that I'm on the list before you. And she says, what do you mean? You're an old man. And he says to her, nobody knows how many years they have left. And he can't even listen to this. He's so pained by this machlokes. And he goes back into his house. 2 days later, this was in the end of the 1940s, when the Arabs were throwing bombs and grenades into different places in Yerushalayim. He's sitting in his house and he's about to go outside to wheel himself out. And all of a sudden, he hears a bomb whiz by and a grenade lands right in the chotzer. And he's yelling and screaming. And he thinks that it's not that one of his children is yelling. And he wheels himself out and never. There's his son. His son was hit by the shrapnel of one of the grenades. And he tries to get off the wheelchair, trying to help his child, but he can't because he's in the wheelchair and the kid is bleeding profusely. And it just happened. It just happened, this Yad HaDeshmaya, that an ambulance was running through the streets of Yerushalayim, and he yelled and he screamed and other people heard him, and they picked up this child and they brought him to the hospital and they saved his life. But now he was there alone. He couldn't go into the ambulance because they had never other people that ever hurt. And he looks around and he sees other people that were hurt by this bomb, by this grenade. And he sees lying on the floor dead was that young woman. And the older man was hurt, but he lived to tell the story. And years later, at this son's sheva brachas, the son who was saved, Rav Chaikel told over the whole story. And he acted out as if he was the old man arguing with the girl, with the young woman. And he said like this, Zainit azayhei, zayabitul akelter, valamensh veisnish, verezinget the elter. And in English, if you wanted to write it in poetry, you would say, don't be so hot, let your temper turn cold, for a man doesn't know who's young and who's old. That young woman thought she was going to live forever. But she had terrible temper, and she didn't make it. Kach leads to catastrophe. Right in the beginning of the Torah teaches us what happened never because of kach. Tells us that Cain and Hevel, both of them, brought offerings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vel Cain vel Munchosei Loisha. The Pasuk in Bereishis Dalet, Pasuk Hei and Vav, it says that to Cain, his offering Hashem didn't turn. Vayichar leKain ma'od. Cain got very angry. Vayiplu ponav, and he fell, and his countenance fell. It felt terrible. Vayoyim Hashem. Hashem said to Cain, Lo mechor lach. What are you getting so angry? You'll improve. You'll be forgiven. What are you getting so angry? Why are you so hot-headed? So what happens in the next pasuk? In the next pasuk, and if you learn it with the Medrash, a frightening pasuk, what happened? It tells us in pasuk Zion, Vayomer Kayin al Hevel Ochid. Kayin said something to Hevel. It doesn't say what he said. The Medrash tells us what he said. Vayi b'yosem b'chadet, they were in the field. Vayokom Kayin. Kayin got up. What does it mean, Kayin got up and he killed Hevel? You know what happened? Kayin was weaker than Hevel. Hevel was stronger. And Kayin started getting angry at Hevel and he started beating him up. And Hevel started beating up Kayin and Hevel was on top of Kayin. Hevel was on top of Kayin because he was stronger than him. And he was beating him up. So Kayin said to him, the Medrash tells us in Bereishis Chof Beis Chet, the Medrash says that Kayin said, don't kill me. Oh, our father has his two sons. You're going to kill me? So Hevel had rachmanis and he let him go. By Yochum Kayin, the pasuk says, Kayin got up from being on the floor and he killed his brother. Why? He just said, don't kill anyone. Let's not kill each other. But our father has two sons and that's it. Isn't that logical? But he was so incensed that even the logic that he just stated 5 minutes ago, all of a sudden it went down the drain. He got up by Yochum Kayin from the floor and he went and he killed him. How did that happen? How did that machloikis happen? The Klei Yochar, in an unbelievable deal, tells us a great lesson how people get angry. A great lesson how this machloikis started. He says, it says in Bereishis, Dalet, Pasuk Dalet, the Hevel Hazi Gamhu, Mebcheret Sinai. Hevel also brought the carbon. He brought from the shaw, from the flock, from the sheep. Why doesn't it say Kayin brought and Hevel brought? It says Hevel also brought. You know what it means? The Klei Yochar says, Hevel saw Kayin brought an offering, a carbon. He said, you know, I'm going to do the same thing. So Kayin said to him, what do you mean? You're jealous of me? I did something. You're doing it just because I did it? The Hevel Havi, come, who he also did. He saw his brother do it. He's also going to do it. So they got into an argument. So Hevel said to him, what do you mean? You brought junk. You just brought fish guns, flax. I brought some of the behemoths. I brought the good stuff. What do you mean? You're telling me what I brought? You weren't even supposed to bring anything. That was my idea. And now you're telling me what I brought? And that's how it started. It started because of jealousy. Hevel was jealous of Kayin. They got into an argument. He's telling him he brought not the good stuff. He said, I brought the good stuff. He said, it was my idea. And that's how it started. That's how kas starts. Don't we know people in the same family? Some of the sisters are wealthier. They have nicer homes. They can dress their children better. And the other sisters can't afford that clothes. Can't afford those homes. So what happens? Certain sisters are jealous of the others. And they make comments behind their back to the other family members. And then all of a sudden starts a terrible machloikis, and then people aren't talking to each other. How did it start? By kinnah. Don't we know certain families that are jealous of other families? They're making shidduchim, they're no special. How did they all of a sudden marry off all their kids? They're nobody special better than me. How did they do it? So we get jealous, and we get angry, and we make comments about them, and all of a sudden people begin to hate them. Why? Because of jealousy. Sometimes you see a person's being honored. He's got money, he's giving stuff, he's getting covered. And we don't like that he's getting covered. Why is he getting covered and I'm not getting covered? I'm any worse than him. So what happens? We start making comments. And when we make comments, we get angry, we get jealous, and then we do things that are terrible. And they have terrible repercussions. And you know, the Klei Yochar tells us a wonderful diuk in a pasuk in Kehelet. It says, V'ra'isi in Kehelet, Dalet, Dalet. V'ra'isi aniyat kol amal, I see everything that everybody does. Call Achishon Amaita, everything that everybody does in this world that which they accomplish. Everybody's always trying to outdo each other because of kinnah. Gam de Hevel, it's nothing. But he says, Gam de Hevel, that's Hevel in the Torah. That's Hevel. The whole argument started only because of jealousy. And now I'm going to tell you something that if you never heard this, it is just so unbelievable. The first time I heard it, I just jumped out of my seat. I couldn't believe it. You know what it says in the Medrash Tanchuma? In the Medrash Tanchuma Bereishis Ois Tet, what's the reason that we don't wear shabbos? You know why? Because Kayin brought from the linen, from the flax, and Hevel brought from the wool, from the sheep, and that wool and linen clashed and brought Misa to the veld. That's why we don't wear shabbos. Isn't that unbelievable? And you look at the Medrash Tanchuma, it's an eye-opener. unbelievable. He says, "V'omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Eibush said, 'Ein oidim sheyisareg mincha tafoytei im mincha zakai l'ficha nesar.' That's why it became osur, because that which was brought for a choytei, that which was brought from somebody that didn't do an aveira, it brought mitzvah. You cannot wear shatnas." Now, do you know my Rebbe Rav David Cohen Zalzayin Gezuin? He told me a terrific verse from the Arizal. There's one person that's allowed to wear shatnas, and he has to wear shatnas. Who is that? The Kohen Gadol. So it says in Shemoy Tzlamatet, Pasuk Chavtet, the Efa Avnei, the belt or the sash that the Kohen Gadol has to wear in the Beit HaMikdash, it's made out of sheish mosdar, it's made out of twisted linen, and then later the Pasuk says, B'tzolah Shani and wool. Why is the Kohen Gadol, why does he wear shatnas? And the Arizal says a terrific verse. You know why? Because the Kohen is Oyev Shalom, V'roidev Shalom. He loves peace and he runs after peace, so he undoes that which Kayan and Hevel did. So those who undo that which happened because of wool and linen, they can wear wool and linen. Isn't that a tremendous insight? That's why the Kohen Gadol, who is an Oyev Shalom, Bereidev Shalom, he can wear shatnas. We have to become people of Oyev Shalom, Bereidev Shalom. All of us know that Rav Shlomo Zalman was nifter just a few weeks ago. So some of you may know this unbelievable story that he was walking once with a Talmud and he was fixing his jacket and fixing his tie or his shtreim or whatever. And he was getting ready to walk into the house and the Talmud said, "Rebbe, I see that you haven't guests. Maybe I won't come." He says, "No, it has nothing to do with guests. I don't have any guests." So he said, "Rebbe, why are you just like, you're getting ready to dress so nice?" He said, "No, because the Gemara says, Ish v'isha zochu shchina b'neihem, that if a husband and a wife have shalom bayis, so the Shechina is there. I'm getting ready to see the Shechina." Imagine a man is getting ready because he has such peace in the house. He's getting ready to see the Shechina. You know what that means? That means that he never got angry at his wife. And she nodded him. They had peace. And do you know what he said at her Leviath? It's unbelievable that a person should say this. He said, normally when a woman passes away, the husband usually asks for mechila. He says, "I'm going to ask for mechila because that's the Nogamo, but really I don't have to ask for mechila because I never did anything to her to make her angry." Could you imagine? I wish I could say that after 2 days. But here's another story. Here's an unbelievable story that happened in our time. I have a brother, Rav Kalman, who is a person who is an Oyev Shalom, Bereidev Shalom. And when I heard this story about him, I thought I know him, but this is unbelievable. He told me, I mean, he didn't tell it to me, I heard it from other people. He once sent money to a Nitzrach in Eretz Yisrael, $1,700. So he knew a fellow in Lakewood was going to Eretz Yisrael, so he said to him, "Listen, I'm showing you, count out the $100 bills, listen, this is a Nitzrach, it's a family that needs the money, please make sure the first day that you go, you should bring it over." Fine, guy puts it in his pocket, fine. A couple days later, my brother's waiting for the family to call from Eretz Yisrael that they got the money. And there's no call, he said, they always call every time he sends them money. So he calls them up and he says, "Excuse me, I'm embarrassed to ask you, but did you get the money?" "No, we didn't get the money." "You didn't get the money?" So he calls this guy and he says, "Excuse me, remember I gave you the money, what happened?" He says, "I don't know what to tell you, but I just don't know where it is. I was carrying a lot of envelopes and I was just so embarrassed to tell you that I just don't know where it is. Maybe it'll come up, but I just don't have it." So what would most of us do if somebody lost $1,700 of our money that we told the guy, "Here it is, it's going to a family"? We would hit the ceiling. So my brother says, "It's Mina Shamayim, don't worry. Bahashkocha, hopefully you'll find it." And the guy, when he came back to Lakewood, he was so mavuz, he was so worried that my brother would be waiting for him and he would be yelling at him. But my brother was waiting for him. My brother went to Gelbstein's at the store in Lakewood. And he had a cake made. And on the cake, it said something that I'm sure no baker has ever put on a cake before. It said, "Hinini noisin loy es greasy shalayim. Let us be friends forever." Here's the cake. He met him at his house. I'm merciful 100%. It's an accident. It's Mina Shamayim. That's called somebody who could have hit the ceiling, who could have gotten so angry and controlled himself to such a degree that he became an Oyev Shalayim and a Roidev Shalayim. It's soon going to be the end of Sphira. And in June, so many chasenes are made. Do you know, I know situations where when it came to dividing the brachas, there were more klalas given out than brachas. Why is that? Because this family says, my rabbi has to have this kibbutz. My rabbi can't have that kibbutz. That's not big enough. And 10 minutes after the chuppah, who even remembers who had the kibbutzim? We don't even take those pictures in our wedding album. It's not the important pictures who had the kibbutzim there. And you make such a big deal about it. I was once at a chasana. I tell you, I don't know how this could have happened. But I guess anything could happen at least once. It was after the batekin already. And the parents of the kala are about to start walking. They're getting ready to walk with the kala. And all of a sudden, the mother of the chasana comes and says to the father of the kala, you have to go by my son. What do you mean, I have to go by my son? What do you mean, I'm not walking down my daughter? What do you mean, where the parents are walking down the daughter? We raised them for 21 years. We're not going to walk it down to the chuppah? So all of a sudden, the father of the chassan comes and says, well, by us, that's not the meaning. What do you mean? By us, the two fathers march down the chassan, and the two mothers march down the kala. He said, now you tell me. All these years, I've been waiting to march down my daughter. You're going to take away that pleasure from me? And they get into a whole riff, and I'm standing by and I'm trying not to listen, but I need a good story, so I just want to see what's going to happen. And I think they're not going to walk down the aisle, they're going to walk out of the building because they're not going to show up. So finally what happens is that the chassan side, the father says, okay, look, fine, I'll give it. I'll walk down with my brother-in-law. We'll both walk down, my son. My wife will be out of the picture. But the father of the kala, he understood that he can't be such a schlepta, that if he doesn't walk with the chassan, then the chassan's mother is going to be out of the picture. So that's not fair. So he gave in. Fine, the wonderful guy, the two mothers walk down with the kala, the two fathers walk down with the chassan, and isn't that a great way to start a chassana for shalom bayis? His mom is beautiful. The Torah tells us that depicts a scene that I always felt pain when I learned these psukim. Now I admit that I felt pain because I'm a Bukhar. So maybe I'm a Negev Bedava. I'm the oldest of seven children. But I imagine, to my mind, Reuben standing by his father who's dying. And the father, Yankov, is now going to give all the brachas to the children. And Reuben is expecting, he's the oldest. He's the leader of the family. And Yankov tells him, Tachas kamayim al tosa. You had anger, swift as water. You acted quickly, al tosa. You're not going to be foremost. You're not the leader of this family. You have a midah of anger, and you lost it. What did he do? We all know that Reuben felt so bad for his mother Leah all the years. She was second fiddle, so to speak, to Rachel. And now that Rachel had passed away, so Reuben thought that his mother surely would be the most beloved now by Yankai. And now all of a sudden Yankai is going to move in with Rachel's maidservant by Bilhah. And Reuben was so upset that he did something after that Yankai should be by Leah. And Yankai said, Tachas kamayim. Rashi tells us, Hatachas v'bohol asher mihartu laharis kaskol kamayim alolu. Like a raging water. You did something without thinking. Such a person cannot be a leader. Could you imagine Reuben standing in front of all of his brothers and being told because of his anger, I'll say so. Rav Sholem Shadron always used to tell me. He used to tell it to me in a Sephardica dialect. I never knew why he would tell it to me in a Sephardica dialect. I thought maybe that was the jargon in Eretz Yisrael. And when I was preparing for this talk, I realized why, because I did my research and I found out that this is taka, an expression by an early Sephardische Rishon, Rav Shlomo Ibn Gabriel. But I'll tell you how Rav Sholem told it to me, because to me it's very dear that way. And then I'll tell it to you how probably we would say it here. But he always used to say, Pri Hamehirut Hacharata. Pri Hamehirut, the fruit of acting quickly, is Charata, is regret. Pri Hamehirut Hacharata. The fruit of acting quickly without thinking is regret. I'm a person that's very impulsive. I talk quick, I act quick, I drive quick. Not more than 55, as we'll talk later. But I do things quickly. And Rav Sholem used to say, take it easy. Three amahirut, acharata. And that's something that we have to remember. Because many times we react so quickly, and then by the time we've said something out of our mouth, it's too late. And we have to listen and we have to remember to slow down. It says in Kehelet, Zion, Pasuk Tes, Al Tevayel Bruchacha. Don't be so hasty in your spirit, Lichoy. Ki Kaas Sechei Kesilim Yonuach. Kaas is on the lap of fools. Don't act quickly. I'll tell you a story. I can't print this, but this is a story. What happens when people act quickly and don't think? And look at the results. Unbelievable. I had a bris once in Forest Hill. And this bris was literally about five, it was in a shul five houses from where the grandparents lived. And I'm about to do the bris, and I look around and I see there's no wine. Now, it's on the list of items to get ready, wine, right? But it happens, they forgot the wine. So it's mamish, we're getting ready to get the wine. So the father of the baby gives a yell to his brother-in-law. And he says, get the wine, go back quickly. You were the one who's supposed to bring it. Bring it quickly. He says, I don't know where you're in your grandparents. I don't know where the wine is. But your in-laws, do I know where the wine is? Go in the basement and bring it up. It's in the basement right by the door. Fine. Now this is about 15 years ago. So they, if you remember, the Kedem bottles used to be the big, fat, 6-gallon bottles. So he goes downstairs and he takes a bottle, you know, a thick, fat bottle, and he brings it, and we pour it, and if I live to be 120, I will never understand why the Rav who made the bracha on that wine, why he didn't drink it. I don't understand, but he gave it to the father to drink. Now, it looked yellow to me, but I figured it was Tokay wine. Now, he drank it, and he started yelling and spitting out, what is this, what is this? And then they took a look at the bottle, and it was motor oil. It's unbelievable. What happened was that he had stored the motor oil in that big glass, but they had rushed. And you know what I was worried about? I gave it to the baby for the Maya Chayim. So of course I was frantic. So I called the pediatrician and I said, what should I do? You know, like, so he said, don't worry, it's okay, but don't forget to bring him in for the 5,000 mile checkup. That's really true. So you cannot act quickly. If you rush, you're going to regret. I'll tell you an incident that happened with me a few years ago. I'm embarrassed to tell it to you, but I feel that it's a tayelis, because if I could make a mistake, other people, anybody could make a mistake. I'm nobody special, I'm just like everybody else, and if I can make mistakes, everybody can make mistakes. And what happened was, we're davening in my shul on Yom Tov. Now, I happen to be a Bar Tefila, and I'm very mocked that, especially on Yom Tov, and not that I'm the gabbai in the shul, but I would like that a person should take it easy, should daven, he should sing Hallel. After all, Yom Tov is a time when you want to feel an aliyah in the davening. And a guy gets up and he's davening, and he's running through the davening. And my mom's losing my patience. Steam's coming out of my ears, but I'm not going to say anything. Fine. He gets to Hallel, and he's running through the Hallel. He doesn't know the Nusach. Who put him up here? What job I would put him up here? Fine. Gets to Hallel, doesn't sing anything, and he's running through the Nusach. I'm telling you, by the time Kaddish finished after, I was, okay, if I was a real Kaisan, I would have banged, you know, like on the wall, like you could imagine some people, like, you know, slow down, run. Okay, I didn't do that. That, I controlled myself. But after leaning, I was going to go over to the Gabbai in as nice as possible. I was going to say to him, how in the world did you bring over that person? Now, I have a son who's very smart. So the second after Kaddish, he knew without my saying a thing that I was steaming. And he comes over to me and he says three words. He has your sight. That's so funny. He just like punched a balloon and all the air went out. It's true. I remember Taka that the fellow's mother died the previous youngest. I Taka remember. But here, I was going to say, I wouldn't say anything to him, but I certainly was going to say something to the Gabbai. What's going on? Yosef, Hallel, davening, what's the rush? But he had your sight. It's not his fault that his mother died on Pesach. So, and he asked the daven for the Amid. Of course you have to let him for the daven for the Amid. I also would have told him he should daven for the Amid. But if I wasn't curtailed at the right spot, I could have said something that would have made me look foolish, and certainly would have been not nice to talk about that other fellow. So the next time you hear something, try to wait overnight until you react. If you're a girl in a school, and you find out that this year your school is not going to convention, and you're furious, I've been waiting all these years, I should go to convention, and now I'm not going. Don't run into the principal's office the first day. Wait. You'll say something wrong, wait till tomorrow. If you're in a shul and a rav comes out against the local Arab, and you want to use the Arab because you think you young people are going to move into the neighborhood, or you think that now you'll be able to bring your kids to shul, you'll be able to carry them, and you're angry at the rav, take it easy, wait. Wait till tomorrow. The problem is still going to be there, but you're going to calm down. And if somebody tells you, you hear that somebody said that you're a lousy musician, or a lousy photographer, or a lousy caterer, or a lousy cook or baker, whatever they said about you, don't call them the day that you hear that they said it. Because you'll say something that you'll regret forever. Calm down. Wait. Tachas kamayim al taisa. Let's remember those tragic words that Yaakov said to Reuven. Because he had a temper, and because he didn't think, and because he meant it, l'shem shemayim, he surely meant it for his mother's covet. But he acted too quickly. He should have waited. Of course, Chazal said that he did tshuva. But the idea was the kas was there, and therefore he was not able to get what was coming to him. So you want to learn how to control yourself? I'll give you some little practical advice. The next time somebody blows a horn at you when you really didn't have to, don't wave your fist. Just be quiet and drive on. And the next time the guy ahead of you doesn't fly off as soon as the green light comes, don't blow the horn. See if you can control yourself. Because if you're impatient, that's a form of anger. Try not to go through every single yellow light. Because when you go through those yellow lights, what you're really showing is that you're impatient, you want to get there, you're obsessed with getting there before yesterday, and that's the problem. You have to learn to take it easy. And if we do these simple things, and we all are drivers, just don't blow the horn unless, chas v'shalom, it's an emergency. And you learn to take it easy. You'll see that you'll be a better person, you'll be a more relaxed person, and the people all around you will be as relaxed as well. Do you know that when Moshe Rabbeinu realized that he wasn't going to go to Eretz Yisrael, so he spoke to the Rabbeinu Shlalom and he said to the Rabbeinu Shlalom, please appoint a leader in Klal Yisrael that will take over after me. And in Bamidbar Chof Zayin says Zayin, it tells us that the Eibusher heard how Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yifkoid Hashem Elokei Haruchais, the Eibusher should appoint L'chol Basar, the one who understands all the spirits, all the personalities, all the characteristics of Klal Yisrael. Ish Alo Eida. So Rashi says, Omar Lefano. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, Datei Shekol Echad Ve'Echad. You know that every person is different. No two people are alike. They're not the same at all. Mane Alehem Mane. Appoint a leader. You have to appoint a leader that has patience. Patience is a virtue in leadership. Patience is a virtue for teachers and for parents and anyone that has to lead anyone. And especially for those that are going to be the manhigim of Klal Yisrael. I heard two beautiful stories about Rav Chaim Moizer. Couldn't get over this first story. Rav Chaim Moizer was once giving a shiur, and there was a group of bokrim that were in his house, and all of a sudden a man came up across the mensch, an amoret obviously, and he comes running into the shiur and he interrupts the whole shiur, and he says to Rav Chaim Moizer in Yiddish, can I call him a grusha? What kind of kash is that? Everybody knows, there's a grusha, a kohen cannot marry a grusha. So for that, you have to go, and you have to run into the shir, and you have to interrupt, and the Rebbe is giving a shir, and he's learning, so the Bachum got angry, and general, you know, like, well, what are you interrupting? And besides, he's interrupting with the Azad Narish HaShayla. And Rav Chaim Moizer tells him, be quiet, lumetrachten. And he thinks for a minute, and then he says, yeah, a kohen can name a grusha. They can't believe it. A kohen can never not. It's a famous apostle that a kohen cannot take a grusha. So of course the guy is very happy. He goes downstairs. And the bachurim, they cannot listen to the shir. They're just tumbling. How can the Rebbe upset something that's against the Torah? So of course, Rav Chaim Moizer sees that they're upset. And he says, bachurim, why don't you understand? Don't you realize he's a wagon driver? He's a kohen. There's probably a grusha standing outside and she wants a ride. And he wants her as a kohen, can it name a grusha? Go downstairs, you'll see. Sure enough, they go downstairs. There's the wagon driver, he's the kohen, the grusha from the city, she's there. And he wants to take her. You hear a kohen, can it name a grusha? Who would ever have thought of that? Who would ever have thought of that? But if you have a person like a Chaim Moizer, that the leader of Klal Yisrael, that Sever Kol Echad VeEchad LePisata, even a plus Amora, the wagon driver. The wagon driver can't think like a Talmud Chacham, but a great leader understands that not all children are alike, and not all people are alike. A young man once came to him, a young man, and he wanted that his father should have a job. His father was an elderly man already, and there was a small city that needed a rug, and he wanted that Chaim Moshe, with his pull and connection, should appoint or give a recommendation for his father to be the rug. So Chaim Moshe was listening, and he didn't answer. And when he didn't answer, this young man understood already that his father wasn't going to get the job. And he started getting angry, because Chaim Moshe wasn't answering and certainly wasn't giving the recommendation. And he started talking with tremendous chutzpah to Chaim Moshe. And Chaim Moshe didn't say anything. Finally, he spoke with such chutzpah that Chaim Moshe, instead of saying anything to him, walked out of the room. And the fellow understood, and he left. And afterwards, one of the people in the room said to Chaim Moshe, "How could you have allowed him to talk like that?" He says, "Don't you realize how painful it is for this boy? He understands that his father is older. And it's very painful for a child to see that parents get older and they're not as capable as they used to be and they're not as useful as they used to be and they're getting on in years. It's very painful for a child to realize that." And he was taking out this bitter frustration on me. It wasn't directed personally to me. This was his frustration. This was his anger. Of course he shouldn't have spoken to the Gadol HaDor that way. But the Gadol HaDor was a Sovel. He understood to be patient with each person, Lefi Datoi. Rav Elie Lapyan once said that he used to think that he had Kas under control. But then one day he was thinking about it. He said, I don't have it under control. It's just that wherever I go, people give me so much COVID. So I'd be a fool if I would be angry in public. Everybody gives me COVID. That's why I control myself. The real test is in my house. How do I talk to my wife? How do I talk to my children? And you know, he had a group. And every time this group would get together, every time that any of them got angry, they would pay a knot. And that's not a bad way. A few people should get together. Every time you get angry, you should put some money for tzedakah into a pot, into a kitty. That would begin to train you. You would begin to analyze yourself, everything that you say and everything that you speak. And of course, Rav Elie Lapyan, when did he make this? When did he make that they should pay this knot once a Shabbos? Because he said, Friday night in the house. Friday night, Friday afternoon, Shabbos, when everybody's together, everybody's on each other's heads. That's the time when parents have to learn to control themselves. And I want to talk about something. A Mishnah in Shabbos. An unbelievable deal that the Tveres Yisrael makes. The Mishnah is in Shabbos Lama Dawud Amir Allah. And it says, Shloisha Dvorim Tzadich Adam Leimah B'Tech Beisai. There are three things that a person has to say in his house before Shabbos. All of you know it from Bamei Madlikin. But the Bais Nura says something very interesting. Why doesn't it say three things a person should say L'Bnei Beisai? Why does it say B'Soich Beisai in his house? You know what he says? It's unbelievable. He says, V'loma loy koma L'Bnei Beisai al Rosalama. Sh'loy yoyma b'korl ibeis. You shouldn't say it in such a loud voice. Sh'yishma b'chut. If you're yelling, it should be B'Soich Beisai. They shouldn't hear it outside the windows, outside the door. Sometimes we lose ourselves. Erev Shabbos, do you know what the Novominska Rebbe told me 2 days ago? I told him I was speaking about anger. And I asked him about hitting children. And you know what he said? I asked him about parents hitting children and Rebbeim hitting children. And he said 98% of the time, 98% of the time when children are hit, it's because of the frustration and the anger of those people that are hitting. They're not doing it for chinuch. They're doing it as a stopgap measure because they're so frustrated. That's not a reason to hit a child. Whether you allow the Rebbeim to hit your own children, that's your own concern with your yeshivas and your Beit Yaakov. But never, never should a parent or a Rebbe raise a hand in anger. I remember, I was in Tervadaf, I will never forget this. We came in on a Sunday one morning, and there was a kid in our class, I was in seventh grade. On his face was a mark of four fingers. His father had slapped him so hard on Shabbos in the face that the imprint was still on his face. Everybody knew what kind of temper his father had, but that was just too much. That's not chinuch, that's rishus. I don't care who it is. And that's something that we have to remember. It says in Shulchan Aruch, in your day of Simon Reish Mem Hei Sif Yud, Lo yake oisei hamalamet makas oyei. A Rebbe shouldn't hit like an enemy hit. Abzuri with viciousness. Certainly not with a stick. Elaburatsuok tana. The Gemara says a shule. The idea of hitting, says the Novominsky Rebbe, is like the Evan Shlema says. The Evan Shlema wrote a sefer, that's the brother of the Vilna Gaon. He says, Kishemake es benoy, if you hit a child. Lo yake oisei makas oyev. Don't hit him like you would hit an enemy. Derech kat, with anger, ala ovar. But you have to hit him because you want to teach him that he shouldn't go off the derech in the future. Lachain al yake oisei harbe ba'omen. Not many times should you patch and patch and patch at the same time. Rak ma'at, a little bit, lafi darko, v'lafi hanos, what he needs. And then when you see that you're getting angry, lo yake oisei kvav, don't hit anymore. The Novominsky says hitting doesn't work anymore today. I'll tell you, my mother told me she was in a store, this is unbelievable. She was in the store and it was this chayera, this kid, he was just knocking things off the shelf. So his mother came and she gave him a thrust. You know what he said? He said, you know, I can take you to court for child abuse. How do you like that? That's a child today? That's a child. Is hitting working? No, hitting is not the answer. Hitting is certainly not the answer. As Rav Schwab used to say, before you criticize a child, you have to be sad, not mad. And if you're hitting a child because you're sad that you have to hit him, that's going to be a different touch. But if you're mad, that's not the time to yell, that's not the time to patch, and that's not the time to be machana. Even parents, rebbeim, all of us have to learn to take it easy. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz has an essay, I gave a shmuz, and they wrote it, Gnus Akad. And he writes something that's never so frightening. He brings the Gemara of Sukkim, Samal Chavam, his base. It says, Kol Shekoyes, anybody that gets angry, Afilu Poiskin Poiskin Alov, Gedulam and Hashamayim, even if they said that he's going to be a Godel, Moiridin Oisei. They take it away from him. Where do you see this? From David HaMelech. David HaMelech had an older brother, Eliyav. Eliyav was the oldest. Eliyav was the one that was supposed to be the king. It would have been Mashiach ben Eliyav, not Mashiach ben David. But Eliyav, the oldest of the eight brothers, one time when Klal Yisrael was getting ready to fight the Plishtim and Goliath was there, David came, he wasn't HaMelech then. David came and Eliyav got so angry at him. And he said, what are you doing here? You belong by the sheep. I know why you came. You just came for the sight. You want to see how they're fighting? Well, you don't belong here. Get out of here. So the Eivish just said, such a kaitan? That's how you talk? That's how you mavaza person? So you know what happened? Later on, when Shmuel Aleph Yudzayin Kofchet, when he came to put the oil, and he thought he had to put it on the oldest son, Eliyav, he was going to be the king. So there's a topic that is so important, the aside of not becoming a kaitan. And it says, actually that's the pasuk where it says that Vayichar Af, that Eliyav got angry. The pasuk by Shmuel is Shmuel Aleph, says Zion Zion. And it says, Vayim Hashem El Shmuel, Shem said to Shmuel, Al Tabeit El Mareyu. Don't look at his countenance, don't look at this oldest boy, the El Gavoya Kamata, that he's the oldest and he's the tallest. Kima Atsiu, he's repulsive to me, because he has anger. Ki lo yashe yira ha'odam, it's not the way people see. Ki ha'odam yira le'nayim. A person only sees superficially. Hashem yira la'levo. The Eibush Tevesos Tutachan Harsin. Hashem knows what's doing in the heart of somebody else. You look at this older brother, big, tall, handsome, it looks capable. But I can see that's only superficial, Hashem says. Ki lo yashe yira ha'odam. A person can only see superficially. The Eibush sees inside. He saw that David HaMelech Nebuch was gone, not David HaMelech, Eliyav was Nebuch HaKaisan, and therefore that's why he couldn't be the king. There are many of us that could really be chashuv, that could really be prominent, but Hashem is not letting us. You know why? Because we have a temper. And the Eibush says, I don't want a man with a temper to leave my community. I don't want him to be the president of the shul. I don't want him to be the president of the PTA. I don't want these people to be leaders if they have tempers. And that's why we have to know, if you have a temper, we're really terribly hurting ourselves. And the Orcha Tzadikim tells us another thing. He tells us, not only are you hurting yourself, but the kaitan, if you have a temper behind your back, everybody hates you. Ein loy chen ve'ein abriyot, he writes in the essay of Kass, people can't stand you if you have a kas. Nobody's going to listen to you. You think that if you yell and you scream, you're going to get your way, people are laughing at you. Dr. Mayor Wickler, who's a marriage counselor here in Borough Park, told me he was once out of town, and he heard that there was a hush of a speaker that was going to speak in two places. One in someone's house, and then in a big event in a shul someplace. And he wanted a chaparayim, he wanted to be by both speeches. So he said to the driver of this particular person, he said, listen, do you mind if I come in the car and I'll go together with you? So he says, no, fine. So the second he saw that this rav finished speaking in this particular house, he ran into the car and he's sitting in the back. And then the rav comes out, this particular person comes out, and he has a whole bunch of people, everybody talking to him and asking him shalos or whatever, and he gets into the car. And the guy speeds away! And then the rav taps the driver on the shoulder and he whispers something to him. All of a sudden the guy slams on the brakes, runs backwards, and they pick up the rav's wife. She gets in the car. Dr. Wickler can't imagine that she knew he was there. And she says, how did you forget about me? And he says, I didn't forget about you. I told the driver to come back. She says, you know why this happened? Because you spoke too long. Who asked you to speak so long? Every place you go, you don't stop talking. And Rabbi Wickler, you can't even look. Oh, she's so embarrassed. He's so happy that it's at night. This particular person can't even see him. And she's on and on. And he's trying to say, they're asking me questions. Oh, everybody's asking you questions. I always tell you to not talk so much. It wasn't me, believe me. But it was so humiliating. How could he ever have respect for that lady? She lost herself. And you know, many people do that in public. You know, it says in Shulchan Aruch, Chaim Simen Kuf Ayin Tzivov, Lo Yehi Odom Kapton Besuda. Don't be a kapton, don't be angry at the meal. Especially in front of guests. Do you know that sometimes, I tell you, I don't let my kids usually go away for Shabbat. I always like people should come to us. But it happens sometimes, once in a long time, I let my kids go away. So my daughter told me she was once at a house, in someone's house for Shabbat. The father was so angry at each kid. After about 20 minutes, she was the only one at the table. He had sent everybody away. She was sitting there with him. Can you imagine? She didn't tell me about the wife. I imagine he didn't send away the wife. But it's so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable. Sometimes you're in a doctor's office and a kid, the doctor told you you're going to come in at 3. It's 4:30. You're still not in. Okay. We know there are many doctors that are guilty of that. And the mother is going out of her mind with the kids. He read every book 6 times. He turned over the blocks 40 times. So of course the kid is running around and she yells and she screams. What does she look like? It's embarrassing. It's painful for the people sitting around the table when the father's yelling at his kids. They're afraid to eat, it says in Mishnah Berurah. They're afraid to eat anything. They're afraid to open their mouths. Who knows? Maybe he'll yell at them. If you're going to yell at somebody, whether it's a husband, a wife, a child, whatever, don't do it in front of other people. It's so uncomfortable. And besides, everybody deep down thinks that you're a fool. So it doesn't take. Zecher Tzadikim tells us another thing. People that are angry never accept criticism. You cannot grow unless you allow people to criticize you. You have to know that people see your faults in a way that you don't see them. And sometimes, what are you driving, right? A husband is driving with a wife, right? And the wife says, you know, you drive like a maniac. You're driving so well. He says, you're talking, you see how you drive. That's not the point. That's not the point whether somebody has a right to say it. Maybe she also drives silly. But if you're driving wrong, that's something to learn from. You have to look at what is being said, not at who is saying it. Sometimes somebody will say, you know, you talk too much on the telephone. Too much, enough already. So you get so offended. Who's he to tell me what to do? He also talks to his friends. But he may be right. It may be painful to hear it from that person, but you have to look at what is being said, not who is saying it. Because if you're angry, then you're going to take it personally. You have to calm down and listen to what's being said. That which we said before, that only Hashem knows what's going on in somebody's heart. You make a simcha and somebody didn't show up and you get angry. Do you know what's doing in that person's house? Maybe there's a child that's sick. Maybe the guy just lost it in Torah. Maybe he found out a friend has never chiyana machla. Maybe he lost his job. Well, how do you know? You don't know. And you think that you wanted somebody to share your simcha and the whole world has to be there. And if they couldn't be there, that's not a reason to get upset. That's not a reason to get upset. You want to know why somebody criticized you? Maybe he's hurting. Maybe things are so bad for him in so many ways that he's embarrassed to tell it to you. Only Hashem knows what's doing while Leibov. Only we can only see what's doing on the outside. I want to tell you a story. An unbelievable story that happened this Friday. I'm going to use the name of the person I got her permission this afternoon. Many of you know Ella Adler. Ella Adler in Flatbush never had a tzara that none of us should ever know from. It shouldn't be in Klal Yisrael. Her son, 7 weeks after his bar mitzvah, never passed away. Very terrible tragedy that happened just 2 or 3 months ago. So Friday afternoon, this past Friday, she's in the motor vehicle bureau with her older daughter. And she knows, in Coney Island, she told me the street, I don't know exactly where it is, on Neptune, this big building. Or anybody who's been in a motor vehicle bureau knows what kind of people are there. It's not a place to leave the 17-year-old girl alone. And she took a number, and they told her she's going to have to wait 3 hours. So she's going to be there with her daughter, and she had daughter to sit there with, and she said to her daughter, listen, you can do whatever you like, I'm going to daven, I'll daven. So she's davening, and then it comes time for Shemit Esra. And she looks at her clock and she sees it's going to be another hour for sure. That's what they said. So she goes into a room on the side. Nobody was in that room. She's not sure if she saw that it's only for officials, but whatever it is, she opened up the door. Nobody was in there. And she starts davening Shemit Esra. And her tefillahs these days are with gevein and with gevet. You can understand never what she's gone through. She's a very wonderful but deeply emotional person. And she's up to Shema Kaleila. And all of a sudden, a woman walks in. Walks into the room and says to her, what are you doing there? She's not going to be master for Shema Esra. So she's up. And the woman starts cursing, what are you doing there? Get out of this office! And she's not going to stop Shema Esra. And the lady goes over and starts yelling right in her face. And she points. She's pointing to the sitter. And pointing to her mouth that she can't talk out. And the lady takes her arm and throws her across the wall. Throws her across to the other side. And she falls against the wall. And she thinks to herself that she has every right in the world to scream and yell at this Mahal Shefa. And she doesn't yell. She just says to her, why? Why did you do that to me? And she begins crying. And she says to the lady, you don't know who I am. You can't possibly know what I've gone through this last 2 months. And she starts crying. And she tells her that she lost a son. And she has other children at home. And it's very difficult for everyone. And she has very little time to pray every day because she has to be involved with her children. And she heard today she's going to have to be here for 3 hours. So she took a sitter to pray. And the lady opens up her mouth and she says, you don't have to pray here. You could pray anyplace else. And she says to her again calmly, I don't care what religion you are. I don't know, but I'm Jewish. And this is how we pray to our God. And she starts talking to her about the importance of prayer. And again, she bursts into tears, uncontrollable tears. And she walks out of the office. She's standing at the outside of the office. 2 minutes or 3 minutes later, this lady comes over to her and puts her arm around her. And she says to her, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. And she starts crying. And she says to her, I'm Jewish. Could you imagine a Yid should do that to another Yid? And they begin getting into a conversation. And afterwards, another hour later, she took care of business and she left. And last night, this Tzadikus, Ella Adler, was at a shir. She was at a shiur in Brooklyn, and the shiur was given by Rav Shaya Cohen, who always talks about Kiruv. And she went over to Rav Shaya Cohen, and she told him this story. And he said, you have to go back to this lady and talk to her. And she went back today to the lady. And she brought her a book that she had written, and she wrote, in memory of my son, and she gave it to the lady. And the lady said to her, Mrs. Abba, I want you to know that Friday night I went to a synagogue. I haven't gone in months. And I prayed to God that he should forgive me, and I prayed for your son. You know what we learned from this great story? That which David HaMelech, which Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Mishlei. Mishlei Tezvov Aleph, Manerach Yoshev Teimo. A soft answer turns away anger. She could have exploded. She could have opened her mouth to that lady because that lady deserved it. But nothing would have come from it. But she was so strong. She used a soft language and she turned away anger. And who knows if in the future this Yiddish lady won't come back to tshuva, because this wonderful woman took the pasuk Manerach Yoshev Chaima. If you talk softly, the other person can't possibly continue his anger. And if you talk softly yourself, you can't possibly be angry. Dr. Wickler told me that in his years as a marriage counselor, he has come to realize the three most important words in marriage. He says, most people think it's I love you, but it's not. It's I was wrong. Those are the most important words in marriage. I was wrong. And if you can say I was wrong to your friend, to your husband, or to your wife, or to your Rebbe, or even at times to your child if necessary, if you can say I was wrong, then you have learned the lesson of Manerach Yoshev Chaima. Let us just review that which we spoke, and we'll end with a beautiful, touching thought. Let's remember that which Rabbi Lezer told us, that Kovet Chaverim and Kas are really intertwined. If you have Kovet Chaverim, the only way you can have it is by not having Kas. Let's remember that the Stipler taught us, that if you have anger, you lose control, you lose your sense of intelligence, and you become harmful to yourself. Let's remember that anger pains others, but you're just causing suffering to yourself. Let's remember from Cain and Hevel that the whole machlokes started because of jealousy, and from jealousy became kas, and from kas became catastrophe. Let's remember that we have to be like Arayin Oyev Shalom V'Roidev Shalom, like people, like Shlomo Zalman. Let's remember not to act quickly. Pachas Kamayim Al Toysar. If you have something that you want to explode about, wait overnight. Tomorrow the problem will still be there, but you'll be calmed down and you won't say something that you'll regret. Let's remember Pri Hamahirut, Pri Hamahirut, the fruit of hurrying is Hakarata, is regret. Let's remember that if you're a leader at home or in the community, it can only be if you're Sovel Kol Echad Ve'Echad. Let's remember that if you have to hit and you have to criticize, you should be sad, not mad. Let's remember that Eliyahu lost the kingship of Klal Yisrael because he had Kas, and David HaMelech got it. Let us remember that we're going to lose respect in our families and our communities if we show tremendous anger. Let us not be a kapdan. Let's not be angry in front of other people, in front of guests at a Shabbos table, or in front of anyone in a carpool or a doctor's office. Let's remember to be able to take criticism. Let's remember that we're able to say, I was wrong. And let's remember perhaps the most important lesson of all. Manerach Yoshev Chaima. If you speak softly, you're going to turn away the anger from others, and you'll turn away the anger of your own anger. The Gemara tells us some Sachem. The Gemara says that there are three types of people that the Eivishka loves. One of them, in Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Misha Einoi Koyes, one who doesn't get angry. Every day, those of us who daven Nusach Sfard, daven in the Yehirotan and Malkai Netzor, we say, Yehirotan Bufanecha Hashem Alekai Velekei Avatai, Shaloi Tala Kinas Odom Alai, nobody should be jealous of me, V'loi Kinosi Alacherim, and I shouldn't be jealous of others. V'loi Echoi Sayyim, I shouldn't get angry, V'shaloi Achisach on Hashem, I shouldn't make you angry. And I was wondering, What is the connection between Kina and Kas? And now we understand. Because by Cain and Hevel, Kina led to Kas, and Kas led to catastrophe. And I was wondering a second thing. We're saying here, Hashem, help me that I don't get angry, and you won't get angry. And you won't get angry at me. And it occurred to me, you know what that means? Because if we don't give kavod to chaverim, like they didn't do the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, they got angry at each other, Hashem Nebach got angry at them, and that's the connection. That we shouldn't get angry, and Hashem, you shouldn't get angry at us. And I was wondering, where does this tefillah come from? And I looked in all the Siddurim, it's not in the Gemara, it's not in the Rishonim, I didn't know where it is. Where is this tefillah? Who made up this tefillah? V'shaloi echo yisayoy v'shaloi achisecha. And last night, 5 to 12, right before midnight, I saw in a sefer where it comes from, and I could not believe it. It says in the Sefer Haredim, you know who made up this tefillah? That I shouldn't get angry, and you, Hashem, shouldn't get angry at me. Rabbi Akiva. V'chol yoyim hoya Rabbi Akiva mispalel, yihirotein sheloi echois v'loi achisecha. Why Rabbi Akiva? It's obvious, because he saw his Talmidim. He saw how they got angry at each other, and he saw Nebach that Hashem got angry at them. That's why he made up that tefillah. That's what we have to learn the lesson. We have to learn in the days of Sfira that are left. We shouldn't be angry. Hashem shouldn't be angry at us. We should go towards Kabbalah HaTorah with Tzreiluch HaHertza. We should have Dibuk Chaverim, Avas Chaverim. It should be Tata. Klal Yisrael should be united so that we should see Mashiach in our time. I thank you all for inviting me, and I thank you for listening.